listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi there. Welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is weighing on you. So if you would like to call in and talk with me today, the number is 323-203-0815. I would love to hear what is eating at you, because that is the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating. The real problem is not what you're eating. It is what is eating at you. I am just starting a new policy, though. I have some things to say first, and then when I'm done talking about that, you are welcome to call. The number is 323-203-0815. So what I want to talk about today is exercise. Everyone's telling me, like, oh, my New Year's resolution, I'm going to exercise. I'm going to get out there. It's the one thing that I can do to get out of the house. I can get out and exercise, and that's my New Year's resolution. And yet, I know I'm going to fail. I've heard this from so many people. You know I'm going to fail. It's what I want to do. Okay, so I developed 5 new rules about exercise that may surprise you, and I want to go through them because you might have a different view of exercise when I'm done. My hope is that you will. So first of all, I should say that I hate with a passion going to the gym. Even before the pandemic, I was not a fan of the gym. Like spin class. Spin class, the idea of spin class makes me cringe. Just the idea of it. You know, all I can think about are squeaking bikes that make me wince, because it's like nails on a chalkboard to hear that squeaking, screechy, squeaking, awful sound. Ah! And then there's some ripped instructor screaming encouragement to move faster. And yeah, you got this, girl. I just want to say, stop yelling at me, please. I don't have this, and I don't want this. I want to leave. So not a fan of spin class. Zumba classes, it makes me feel like I am back in high school with mean girls in perfect gym outfits with their "we belong and you don't" kind of attitudes. Not a fan of that. So the gym is not my thing. But here is what I love, what I absolutely love, which is ice skating. Can't do that anymore, unfortunately. I love power walking with my BFF. I love walking with her and just catching up at a 6 feet distance, of course, wearing masks. I like weight training at home. I love the mirror. I have the mirror, and it is the best thing ever. I can do whatever I want from the comfort of my own home, and it is amazing. I can do all of that all day long. It is super fun. It is effortless. It does not feel like I'm going to exercise. It doesn't feel like exercise. It just feels fun. So the moral of the story is that exercise is not about torturing yourself. It is about having fun, being healthy, and feeling good. It's about finding what you love and doing that instead of forcing yourself to do something you don't love in the interest of health. So here are my 5 new rules about exercise. Rule number one, work out because you want to be stronger and feel healthier, not because you ate chocolate. Rule number 2, exercise to feel good, not to look good. Rule number 3, you don't have to break a sweat. If you are moving, it counts. A lot of people tell me, well, you know, that's not exercise because I wasn't gasping for breath and sweat wasn't rolling down my forehead. Oh, you know what? Walking is still exercise. Rule number 4, don't exercise now just so you can eat pasta or drink wine or have dessert later. And rule number 5, Find something you love and keep doing it. It'll feel like running, or it'll feel like walking or dancing or weightlifting or playing tennis or biking or swimming or rollerblading or roller skating. It will not feel like exercising. Because when you change your mindset about exercise, you will have a lot more fun and you will be a lot more fit. So let me know which rule jumps out to you the most. Call me, let me know. Let me know what else is going on in your mind. Okay, and again, that number is 323-203-0815. So I have some questions here about what people are struggling with. These are things that people posted on my Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community. And I thought if it affects them, it probably affects a lot of people. So I want to share some of the things that people are struggling with. Tony's struggling with compulsive eating. Well, when it comes to compulsive eating or any kind of emotional eating, hi, Josh, thanks. I hope you're doing well, too. That was Josh on Instagram. That sounded so random. If you're listening to this, you're probably thinking, wait, what is she talking about? So Tony is struggling with compulsive eating. Tony, remember, if you are struggling with compulsive eating, if you are turning to food, you are turning away from something else. If you are not going to eat, what would you be thinking about? What are you feeling? What do you want? What are you yearning for? What is going on within you that food is resolving in that moment? Because people think that they are being triggered by the food. Oh, I just can't stop eating X. No, something is going on within you and you're eating X, Y, Z in order to distract, numb, avoid, turn emotional pain to physical pain. In the case of people who eat so much, their stomach hurts. There is a reason that you are turning to food, and that is there is a reason that you're turning to food, and you've got to look at what that reason is. So, Tony, ask yourself, if you could not go to the kitchen or go to the drive-thru or wherever, you couldn't eat, what would you think about? What would be bothering you? What would you feel? What is so uncomfortable that you can't be with in that moment? Celeste says she feels like she should eat healthier, and she should. She never eats vegetables, etc. And I would say, well, I would wonder, if you're not doing something you think you should do, why? Maybe it's as simple as you don't like vegetables. And maybe it's as simple as something like that. So I would say, is it just that you think you should eat something that you don't really like? Or is it that you're rebelling against it? Something is going on with you that is making you not want to eat the healthy food that you should. And I think we have a caller. Welcome, caller. Who's this?
Good morning. This is Carly Gash.
Hi, Carly Gash. How are you doing?
I'm doing actually good today. Couple of words about exercising that I totally agree with you. I used to stress myself out over exercising, looking at other people in the gym. And I'm the person who doesn't sweat much. Even if I do yoga, all strenuous, I hardly break a sweat. That's my body. And I used to look at other people and oh my God, they're working so hard. I must be underworking or under exercising myself, but then I'm just not sweating. And I found what I like, walking, dancing, things like that. And this past week I didn't walk, because I walk every day 6-8 miles a day, and I started thinking, I'm not working out, I'm not walking, And then I thought, I started doubting my exercising. I'm like, okay, I walk 6-8 miles a day, but I don't walk briskly and I get benefits only when I walk briskly. And then I said, I found somewhere that any exercise is good. Oh, I was looking to your post on Facebook about exercising. And I was like, am I thinking right way about my exercising? I'm moving. It's better than previously I did nothing. So I totally agree with you that we need to find, I need to find what works best for me. Exactly. And I need to stop comparing myself to others, you know, in terms of exercising too.
Comparison is the thief of joy, said Theodore Roosevelt many years ago, and he was absolutely right. The only person that you want to compare yourself to, if you are doing any comparison, is to yourself. And to listen to your body, you know, walking 8 miles a day, some days that might feel good, some days that might be too much. And you know, any kind of movement is good and is healthy. So I love that you are being more compassionate with yourself and less of a slave driver.
Yeah, because I started slave driving myself, saying, again, in your voice, like, you haven't been walking already for a week. And I used to walk 4 months straight, almost not missing a day. And then I said, you know what? I was so weak this week, and it was a hard working week, and plus, I just felt weak, and Jesus, I have like chronic Lyme disease. No wonder that my body, sometimes I wake up, I wake up in a completely new body every day. And when I wake up, I first check, am I breathing? Am I hearing today well? Am I smelling stuff? Like, can I move? And then I just said, you know what? I need sometimes a break from walking maybe too, and it's okay. I can get back on track. I did it many times, and immediately I started thinking, oh, I'm binging, I'm not exercising, I'm going to put on weight. And I started like, you know, like measuring myself, and already those thoughts crippled in, oh, I need to cut on this, I need to cut on that stuff, which is unhealthy. I understand it's not going to work. It's going to only make me frustrated and lead to more binging.
That just goes to my rule number 4. Don't exercise now just so that you can eat pasta or drink wine or have dessert later. That exercise alone doesn't cause weight loss. Guys, the way to lose weight is not to exercise, because for many reasons. And one of them is that a lot of people say, well, I exercised so I can eat whatever. And they overestimate how many calories that they burned and all of that. So you actually end up thinking that you've earned these calories and you end up overeating. So, Carly, gosh, I'm so glad that you are cultivating a healthier, happier response to yourself, and that you're more of a cheerleader and less of a slave driver. And thank you so much for letting us know that today you're in that great a good space of being kinder and gentler to yourself, because when that happens, you feel good. You're not going to use food to make yourself feel better. You already feel good because you're being there for yourself. And that's a wonderful way to be. So thank you, Carly Gash, and have a very happy holiday.
Thank you very much. I am still learning this, treating myself kindly, and that it's a standard. I'm learning, getting better. Thank you very much.
You're doing it.
I just wanted to quickly add, because that was the second part. Can I just very briefly?
Yes, I have callers behind you, but yes, go ahead.
Thank you very much. So you said to Josh, if you couldn't binge, there was no food, what would you do? Like, what would you think about? So that happened to me yesterday. I wanted to binge, but I had my binge food in the car. So I had to drive home, and I had this gap. And I was thinking, do I have to do this? Am I that powerless and hopeless? And by the time I got to my parking, I already didn't want to binge. Instead, I pulled out one of your handouts, Cookies Don't Cure Feelings. I just filled it, filled it, expressed my feelings, shared in the group. And I just went home, did my thing, and went to bed. And I didn't binge. And I was like, huh, it's actually possible.
That makes me so happy. That Ronan, what's that makes me so happy sound effect that we could put in here? Because that makes me so happy. Yes. There's some applause. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Carly Gash. And I'm so glad that you were able to take that time to check in with yourself, to do the handout. And the handout she's referring to is from my Binge Free Babes, and to be able to process that feeling instead of using food to numb and escape. That is huge. You're more than learning, Carly Gash. You are doing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, like once you said that, I'm actually doing it, right?
Yes,
one step at a time. Thank you so much for teaching me that, and I really appreciate it. And I wish you happy holidays, happy past Hanukkah, and to all your callers, I wish happy new year, and be kind to ourselves and listen to your show.
Thank you, Carly Gash, and a Merry Christmas, and I will. I'm having the show next week, so I can talk to you before the new year. So Merry Christmas and happy holidays. And thank you for calling to share such progress. I love it.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye for now.
Bye bye.
Okay. Ronan, do we have another caller in the wings? Hello? Hi, caller.
Hello?
Hi, caller.
Hello. Hi, Dr. Nina. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. What's your name?
Aria, I've called in before.
Oh, yes. It's been quite a while. Nice to hear from you.
Thanks. I have the day off, so I thought I'd check in.
Well, what's going on, Aria? How can I help?
So, you know, this pandemic has been really rough, would be the understatement, right? But I've been working from home mostly, and I really thought, oh, I'm going to have all this extra time. I'm going to be on the treadmill every day. I'm going to be eating so healthy. By the time I get back to work, I'm going to be so skinny. And just like the complete opposite has happened. Like I always thought that the reason I struggled with my weight, well, not the only reason, but one of them was, you know, stress from work, like not enough time, like just getting home too tired. And you know, it's just been so challenging. And then the other part is that I feel like I've really disconnected like my who I am to like my physical self. It's like, you know, like I really got into mindfulness about like not judging myself and like not judging others. Like if other people judge my body, like it's their problem. But I almost kind of took that, I think, too far, because people that really, you know, follow mindfulness, they also follow mindful eating. They're in tune with their body. And instead, I feel like I've just kind of like picked and chosen just like certain elements. And so it's I don't know. It's almost like, well, I don't care what my body looks like. And even though I know that I'm supposed to exercise because it's supposed to make me feel good, that's never really been my experience. Like I've never had that runner's high that people seem to have or feel amazing after exercising. It's always like, well, I did that because I had to.
It's an obligation.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, it's almost like it was helpful for me when I cared what other people cared about my body or when I thought, you know, people like cared. I'm sure they didn't, but like in my head. Like I was talking to a friend the other day, and when I was like 19, I had spent the night with somebody, and in the morning, like I went to the bathroom and did like a full face of makeup before I went back to bed. And I mean, obviously I was 19, I was an insecure teenager, but there was also that part of me that like cared. And now it's just like, whatever, nobody sees me, I can't date, like the people that I work with, it's all women and I can't date clients. So it's like, who cares, whatever. And it's just like my physical body can just be like, you know, just like this ambivalence that I don't know how to get out of.
Well, if you're, say more about ambivalence, because it does, it sounds more like you are abandoned. It sounds more like abandonment than ambivalence. First, I want to say something about you and your body, because it's almost like you're talking about two different entities. There's you and there's your body. And I think you alluded to that a little bit in the beginning, rather than your body is yours, that you, right. Your body is not a separate entity. Your body is you, like you and your body are one. And, but when you have this idea that your body is this other, it's easier to mistreat it, to attack it, to hate it, to neglect it, which is, I think, what you're saying, that you are neglecting your body and yourself, and that you're in this space of not caring. And you know, I think you've mentioned that, haven't you mentioned that you have a dog?
Yes. Willow. She's a husky, white husky.
Yes. Okay. So Willow, how you take care of Willow, you know, what if you took care of yourself the same way?
Yeah, you know what's interesting? It's like I feel like I've taken better care of myself in every other way other than my body. Like I'm doing like acoustic meetup groups on Zoom. So I got back into my music. I'm socializing more, ironically. I have therapy. Like, I feel like I'm doing I'm taking singing lessons. It's like I'm doing so much more during this pandemic for like my emotional health. And then, like you said, my body just got like neglected. And you know, it's funny that you bring up Willow too, because she is unlike other dogs. Like I've had other dogs that are like vacuums, they'll eat anything, right? Willow is like, she is so in tune with her body. Like if you have a plate of like kibble and chicken, if she's not hungry, she won't eat it. And like, it's so interesting. Like she's a mindful eater. Like, isn't that ironic for a dog?
She probably knows that if she wants it, she can get it, as opposed to, you know, if you a lot of dogs eat everything, because if they don't, that it's going to be taken away from them. And so dogs learn, okay, I better eat it all now.
Right.
So they have the anticipation of deprivation. Sounds like Willow doesn't. You know, mindfulness is very on the surface. In fact, Josh on Instagram is saying when we're working with mindfulness, we can't forget trauma. Mindfulness is one layer, and mindfulness is important, and it is good and to be mindful. Mindful is in your conscious mind and what you know to be true. Trauma is deeper, and not every situation has its roots in trauma, but often, you know, trauma which you cannot heal with mindfulness can affect you. And so you're working with a therapist. Is there a time when you felt neglected, where you felt abandoned, where you felt unimportant, that you have internalized and are now treating your body in that way?
I really haven't. You know, it seems so silly. I mean, not silly, I don't want to judge it, but I mean, like the main trauma that I've had in my life was just like some heartbreak, like in relationships, but it was pretty, well, now minor. I mean, it was a long time ago. But even after that, I was still able to go to the gym and, you know, like take care of what I ate. And I don't know. It was, I feel it's almost like when I started my career that I just kind of felt like I was just taking care of other people's emotional health so much. And I think that has been affecting me this year, because even though I'm working from home, there's a lot less no-shows. I'm a therapist, by the way. And so a lot of times, like, people that call in for therapy, like, they don't know what they want out of it. And so I feel like I have to, like I'm already burnt out. And so then having to hear, like having to prompt people and having to pull teeth or to get them to talk, you know, or having people be frustrated and irritated about the system, about not getting appointments sooner, like all of that stuff, which is out of my control, is just kind of like, I definitely have had moments this year where I'm like, I don't care about your problems. I would never say this, but I, like in my head, like, I don't care about your problems. Like, I just want to like not have to work. And I've had to take some mental health days, like just like I can't one more person, you know, like I'm sure you probably maybe have felt that way as well.
No, I don't, because I've never actually felt that way. I'm more curious about and everyone has a different process, right? So I'm not saying, oh, why can't you be like me? But I think that what you do is give and give and give and give and give and take care of everybody else. And then you take your frustration out on yourself, maybe for eating, or you don't take care of yourself. You take care of everybody else, but not you. And I guess
I'm kind of wondering, like, why is it that I can take care of myself, like getting back into my music, which I hadn't done in 10 years, socializing more, reaching out to friends, and then like my physical body, like you said, it's like this other, like, how can I integrate that a little bit more into who I am? Like, where did I lose that? I used to care about like everything about myself.
And that, well, care versus criticize. So I would recommend that perhaps go further back in your life. Maybe there was a time before you started working or before where you felt, for whatever reason, a burden to others, or it's almost like what you're describing is you can't, like, it's too much to take care of you. It's too much to take care of your body. And I would be curious about, and I don't know if this resonates with you at all, but I would be curious about, is there ever a time when you felt you were too much, or taking care of you was too much, and that you have internalized that and are repeating it to yourself? That would be my guess.
I really haven't. This feels really new, and I'm like 41. Like, why is this happening now? You know,
you're home all the
time.
Because you're home all the time. There's something about being home all the time that might be activating this. And when is the last time that you were home all the time? When you're a kid.
Yeah, I feel like this is more new. Like, I kind of struggled with eating here and there, but like I said, I would still go to the gym 3 times a week. Like, I would still, I never felt like this, like my physical self was this other. I felt like that happened this year, like where I just kind of separated it. And I everything that I thought would happen didn't. Like, I thought, oh, I'm going to have so much extra time. Going to be working out every day. Like, I'm going to just be taking such good care of myself. And instead, it's just like, I just want to watch Netflix and play guitar and do everything other than move.
Well, maybe there's also a little bit too much of a setup of this idea that you're going to have, you had this fantasy of how it was going to be, and you're going to get all these things done. And instead, you're actually, maybe you're listening to yourself, but if you see exercise as an obligation and a chore, of course you don't want to do it. Right. So if you take Willow on a walk, is that a chore?
Yeah. I mean, it causes me a lot of anxiety, but I do it for her.
Why does it cause you anxiety?
I've had some traumatic issues with like loose dogs, some scary neighbors.
Oh, okay. I can see why. But it's still exercise. Like, you're thinking of it as, I'm taking my dog for a walk, but it's still exercise. You are moving.
Yeah.
So maybe instead of, oh, I'm going to hold myself up to this ideal of how it should be during this pandemic, where, you know, people would be like, I don't know, my friends have written 2 screenplays and a book and written a concerto and also started a new home-based business. And what's wrong with me? You know, like, just to have reasonable goals and expectations for yourself so you're not comparing yourself to some idea you had about how you were supposed to be.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Because in terms of effort, I love cleaning my house, and that takes a lot of effort. But it's like this immediate result, you know, like I clean my house and then it looks nice. Or I play a song on guitar, and I learn it and then it sounds nice. Or I bake muffins and then I have something to eat. Whereas like I go on the treadmill, I get off and I look exactly the same and I don't feel that much better. So like that immediate kind of reward isn't there for me, which makes it really challenging to do.
So maybe being on the treadmill, the reward is the good feeling. If you don't have the good feeling from being on the treadmill, you got to find something else where after you're done. So don't go on a treadmill because you want to lose weight. Go on a treadmill because it's a good feeling in your body after you're done. If you go with the expectation of losing weight, well, you're going to be disappointed, because actually, even if you were working out on a treadmill every day, 5 days a week, after a month, I think you'd lose something, and you didn't change anything with food. They say like you'd lose like 2 pounds. Like, exercise is not the way to lose weight. It's all about food. It's 80% food and 90% food, 10% exercise. I'm sure some dietitian will write me and tell me that I'm wrong, but overall, it's not a weight loss tool. So, you know, take care of your body with, you know, put on that, maybe you have to just force yourself, put on some mascara, put on a new outfit. Don't go on the treadmill if you don't like it. Just do something and do it for yourself rather than as an obligation, and you're going to feel a lot better.
Okay. Give it a try.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't have any sort of more like epiphany type solution for you. But I do suggest that you really look at that idea of neglecting your body and that indifference to your body, and examine what are the sources of that. Because it's like your body is an other, and your body is not. It's where you live. It's part of you.
Right. I wish I could take care of it as much as I take care of like my other areas of myself.
Sometimes you have to start and notice the resistance and then challenge that.
Okay. I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm so glad that you called. And by the way, I should just say that most therapists do feel what you feel at times, just like drain. And I just look at it as like a curiosity, or as, oh, people can't get mad at their other people in their lives. They can get mad at me. I'm a safe person to get mad at. And that helps me not take it as personally, if that helps.
That's actually really helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Happy holidays, Aria.
Thanks. Happy holidays. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Lots going on today. If you want to call in, the number is 323-203-0815. Let me know what's going on with you. And I will keep going on the questions from my Food for Thought community. Marianne says that she's really struggling with the emotional roller coaster ride of the holidays. And you know, that's true this year more than ever, I think. It's hard at any time to be in that holiday season, because it can seem sometimes as if other people have this amazing Hallmark holiday perfect postcard perfect life, Instagram perfect life, and you don't. And everyone else is having great time, and there's so much love and amazing things, and they're, oh, let me finish my thought, and then we have another caller. And then you don't, and that is perfectly normal. And this is the time of year where you've got to take care of you more than ever. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Who is this? What's your name?
Hi, this is Isabel. Sorry, I have like really bad like service where I'm calling. I'm sorry if you can't hear me at a certain point.
I can hear you, Isabel. What's going on?
I'm really struggling lately. Like, I'm trying to start eating three healthy meals a day. I don't know. I can't start. It's terrifying to me, and it sounds awful. And I only eat mostly junk food, and I really need to change, but it's just really hard.
Okay. So one of the things that is really important is to stay curious and not critical. If you're critical and you say, oh, I'm eating junk food and what's wrong with me, then you're going to feel bad and you end up eating junk food for comfort later, right? But if you say, okay, why is it that I am eating this junk food? I don't want to. I want to eat better. What's going on with me? Being curious, you have a much better chance of figuring out the why. And let me ask you something, actually. If you weren't focused on, I know you called because you don't want to eat junk food, but if you weren't focused on junk food, what would you have on your mind? What would bother you if you couldn't think about junk food?
Part of it is definitely that I'm trying to stop. I'm trying to be sober and stop smoking weed. I have 8 days sober, and I'm also just I don't really I work from home now, and I've gained a lot of weight, and I just hate the way I look. So it's awful that I'll look in the mirror and hate the way I look, and okay, then I'll get sad and I'll just eat more. And it's
okay,
I don't know.
So I'm gonna pretend I have a magic wand, and my magic wand, which I'm waving over you wherever in the world you are, I'm gonna take away all thoughts of food, self-hate, thoughts about weight, thoughts about anything to do with food, weight, body image, anything like that. I know it's hard because it's so present in your mind. But if you could not think about any of those things, what would be on your mind? What are you worried about?
There's the staying sober thing, but I haven't been thinking about that too much.
That's in the same realm of if you're not thinking about smoking weed or eating or any of that, because that can also do the same thing as eating junk food, right? It takes you away from whatever is eating at you. So if you're not thinking about food or weed or body image, or if you can't attack yourself, what's on your mind?
I don't know. I feel I just think about what an awful person I am. I know there's a lot worse people, but I just think I'm an awful person.
What makes you an awful person?
I mean, part of it is because of the weed, because I've just been ignoring everyone in my life. And I just think about the past. I think of any time I was ever mean to someone, and I'm just obsessed with just thinking of reasons why I'm awful.
Okay, I'm gonna give my magic wand even greater powers. You can't turn against yourself or think anything negative about yourself. What's on your mind?
I don't know, maybe just that I'm really stagnant in life, not doing anything with myself. I just sit around on my computer all day. No, no.
Okay. So maybe feeling stuck in life, bored, something along those lines?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So, Isabel, I am going to suggest to you that you are distracting yourself from wanting more in life, perhaps, feeling unsettled about where you are, feeling stuck, feeling stagnant, as you put it, by either smoking weed or eating or thinking about it or beating yourself up, or you know that you have learned to be that this toxic relationship with yourself and with food and weed, which takes you away from your mean voice. By the way, I live in California. There is a dispensary every two blocks. You know, you're not a bad person. If smoking weed makes you a bad person, let me tell you, then the entire state of California, much of the population of California is full of bad people, because there are a lot of people in those weed dispensaries, which it is legal here. So you are using this idea of yourself as a bad person and focusing on the fact that you're eating junk food and the fact that you're coping with weed and food to distract from feeling stuck in life. Would you say that resonates?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, yeah, it's definitely not the weed that makes me a bad person. It's the fact that when I was smoking it, I would just sit in the basement, where I was just disassociating, not talking to anyone, not talking to friends who need my support, or a lot of old people that I'm friends with that I just ignore. And it's I feel like that makes me a bad person when I don't when I'm not there for other people, you know?
Okay. Well, but maybe you have to challenge this black and white idea of what makes you a good person, that you were struggling with something and you weren't showing up for other people as much as you want to, which, by the way, a good person is someone who feels bad about not showing up for other people. So perhaps you want to challenge this idea of yourself as a bad person or a good person. We can't always do good things. You know, we can't always show up for other people when we are having to deal with things and we're depressed or anxious or whatever. My recommendation, Isabel, it's so important for you to challenge this idea about good versus bad and have a more nuanced and layered view of yourself. And if you're feeling stagnant and stuck in your life, take a look at that. What does it take to get you unstuck? How are you stuck? What's keeping you stuck? These are the things to focus on rather than junk food, not junk food, which distracts you from the core root issue, which is feeling stuck in your life.
Yeah, that definitely resonates. I just part of why I'm feel so stagnant is because I bought some groceries last week and most of it was junk food, and then I got clementines too, but I just would look at the clementines every day and despise them and afraid of them. And I like clementines, they're fine, but just because they're healthy, I put all this energy around them, and I like clementines, but because they were healthy, I was I'm not gonna eat that. I feel like I'm an all or nothing person. If I I'm only eating junk food, then what's the point of even eating?
What it sounds like is that you feel guilty because you think you're a bad person because you're not showing up for people the way you think you should or could. And part of that, if you're a guilty person, you got to punish yourself, and you're punishing yourself with junk food and not healthy food, and then these toxic thoughts that you're having about yourself, and then, you know, it's a vicious cycle. That is why getting to the root issue, which in your case is what's keeping you stagnant in life, from a position of interest and curiosity and self-care rather than criticism and getting mad at yourself, and being able to check in with yourself, absolve yourself of this black and white idea that you're you know, you're a bad person or a good person based on what you're kind of like giving at any given point of time, and work on being a cheerleader to yourself, getting yourself unstuck. What is one thing you can do to get yourself unstuck? Besides be curious and not critical. What is one action you can take?
I mean, I could, I don't know, like try to do something good for myself today instead of just like sitting in my messy apartment. You know, I could like clean it or like try to do some stretching, you know, like basic things like that. I don't know.
Can you take 15 minutes and like clear off a desk or, you know, a countertop? A lot of times with messy apartments or messy houses, people are like, oh, I've got to clean my whole house and it's so daunting, and then they never do it and then they feel bad about not doing it. That's why you got to break it down into manageable parts. Can you like, you know, clean off a countertop, for example, if you have a messy countertop? Like, is that doable?
Yeah, that's actually perfect. Like, there's like one countertop. It's like the biggest problem in my life always. Like, maybe I should try to do something about it.
Okay. So you can do that, and that's something you can do. And then taking the attitude of, I'm going to be my own best friend. I'm going to be a friend to myself. I am not going to be such a toxic bitch to myself. You know, if a friend of yours said, hey, I'm really going through something and I just don't have the wherewithal to show up for these old people and these other people that I know who are going through so much, I just feel so drained. You wouldn't look at your friend, would you, and say, wow, you are a really bad person. Would you?
No,
of course not. Have some compassion and have some, you know, have some, again, like nuanced view of it and not so mean. And I guarantee you, you're going to feel better. And when you feel better, you're not going to be so focused on food, or you're not going to, and if you don't feel like a bad person, you're going to punish yourself with food. And you're going to have a clean countertop, so it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I already feel like a little bit like less like obsessed and like trapped in like the junk food just from like, I don't know, just from this conversation and talking about it. So it definitely helps to talk about it.
I am so happy to hear that. And please, Isabel, call back and let me know how you're doing. I'm here every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Let me know how you are. You are so welcome. Take good care.
Okay. Bye. Thank you.
Bye. And that is our show for today, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Dr. Nina Show, here on LA Talk Radio and Instagram Live. I'm here every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific here on LA Talk Radio. You can also listen later on Apple Podcasts or anywhere that you get podcasts. And by the way, if you would like to join my Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community, it is my free Facebook community. Just go on Facebook, do a search for Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community, and join us. And you can ask me questions that I can answer there or on the show. And I want to wish you, for those of you who are celebrating Christmas, Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas Kwanzaa, Happy Holidays, and I will see you right back here next week. See you then. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.